I am unashamed. What about you?
Yeah. Well, they actually did a pretty good likeness on the mug.
That's our unashamed with Phil that Robertson
you know, it
mugs.
But it kind of looks like Phil. And it's a, what do you call these when it's not a, what is that called?
A likeness?
Well, I know, but it's called a, they call that something.
I'm not familiar with the cup.
Yeah.
Cup.
It's like when they draw, when you,
logo.
When you see a person commit a crime and then they draw a.
Sketch? Artist?
Yeah.
A sketch.
It's like a sketch of Phil.
I find it interesting that when he talked about, you talked about a police That's sketch right. artist, Dad. That's
a what?
A police sketch artist.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. By the way, this, those of you who want to look at that, if you go to Blaze TV, that's where you can find out where all the cool merch is for Unashamed. They got shirts, hats.
For a nominal fee.
For a nominal fee, of course.
Oh, I didn't know if they give it away or what.
No, I think you have to buy it. I haven't been on there, but I'm sure you do. But it's probably not a lot, but it's worth it.
I wore this hat
to... Impress your friends.
Look, I wore this hat to the... What are we calling that? The presidential rally?
Rally.
It's the first time a president of the United States has come to Monroe, Louisiana for a rally.
Yeah, other than just like a
Reagan
like a disaster.
Came.
Because we had a
Yeah, we
flood.
Had a flood. He looked around here for an hour, and they've been talking about it ever since. But the fact that President Trump came to the Monroe Civic Center, I mean, it was a big deal. These people went crazy. Did you notice, look, they replaced all the lights in the Civic Center. They had all new light bulbs, and they painted it. And look, that bathroom was clean.
First time.
Yes.
Did it work, too?
And it worked, I thought.
Because our Civic Center is lacking.
I
it
was
built 50
shocked.
Years ago. It's awful.
I was shocked.
I'm embarrassed every time I'm in there, like, for people coming in. I'm like, oh, I wish we had a better. But so they did spruce it up a little bit.
No, they did. I
That's
was impressed.
Exciting. Yeah, and all the lights That's worked. Something. That's pretty good. So it was really amazing, Dad. And so what's funny is this all happened fairly quickly. Yeah. So I had already committed for me and Lisa and Si to go to Florida. So Si and I had already committed to going and appearing at the thing. You know, we were there, Diamond and Silk. You know, it was really a lot of fun. But the show was great. But as soon as we find that out, then I'm like, oh, because then Trump is coming to Monroe. I'm like,
Yeah.
I mean, it was after I'd already committed. So I missed it. But y'all got to be there. So what was it like? I mean, what was the...
That was one of the most... it was just... First of all, I thought it was fun. And I've never seen a crowd at the Monroe Civic Center that energetic, enthusiastic.
About anything.
I've been, you know, we've done...
And we've done shows there.
Hundreds. I've been at hundreds of events, from hockey games to, you know...
Well, I mean, whatever. We were the... Remember, we did a thing, a fundraiser one time, and there were 3,000 people there for us. And
oh, yeah, it was... crowd is...
You know.
It reminds me of the verse in the Bible where Jesus says a prophet has no honor, you know, in his hometown.
Right.
I mean, some of the worst audiences I've ever had when I spoke was... In our
Locally,
hometown.
Yeah.
They just don't seem
well,
to
Well, they know
excited.
Us. It's not a
but
big
trust
deal,
me.
Right.
There were, what, 9,500 probably inside and probably at least that many outside watching on monitor. I mean, Phil and I, there was supposed to be five or six of us that went. Phil and Kay went, and Willie, me and Missy, and Mia.
And Jeff went.
And Jeff. But then we had a few other people with it. So we only had five or six seats. Well, there was 11 of us. And then so we got there. Well, they had our reserved seating. They're like, not enough seats. So a few of us took
Y'all
it
did
for
a little redneck
team.
Bring
yeah.
a few extras.
I thought,
plus
hey,
ones.
Hey, yeah. We'll make it work, you know. No. I've never seen so much law enforcement and Secret Service. Have you?
Never.
So give
I
me
mean, look, we go through that. We had a police escort and the... Secret Service escort there. Because Willie was, they asked him to speak. And here's what I think happened. I don't know if I should even say this, but I am. What are they going to do, fire me? And what happened was, because Trump came down, and I think he had endorsed Abraham, is that right, for governor?
He didn't endorse anybody during the primary.
Well, somebody said, you know, I mean, he came down.
He did a thing for Rasponi and Ralph.
Okay, so he was just because we Republican. Have a, we was, have a Democratic governor, right. Edwards, and but Willie did a commercial for Rasponi.
Yeah, he endorsed Rasponi.
Yeah, and so he barely beat Abraham, which everybody loves Abraham, but you know it's like on the Republican side, who are you going to vote for? And so they're in a runoff. So now Trump's coming back, and he decides to come to Monroe, which is kind of shocking. I mean, you know, as far as there's not that many people. I mean, I think compared to some of the bigger cities in Louisiana, you know, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Shreveport, I guess.
It is interesting that he came to Lake Charles, Monroe, and he's coming to Shreveport next week. And it obviously shows you his commitment to, you know, helping Republicans win the state back. But it also is interesting that he didn't pick New Orleans and Baton Rouge. I mean, he picked the other three.
Yeah, I'm
cities in Louisiana, which is kind of interesting.
I'm surprised,
but it is Trump territory.
That it's that big a deal. Well, I know Don Jr. Of course, he was texting. He's like, "Hey, you know, my dad's coming to see y'all. You know, y'all, what y'all doing?" Yeah. And so I took that to mean, "Hey, you know, y'all want to come, that's perhaps right. speak or whatever." So, but Willie, I think they probably had a meeting and said, "Hey, that Rasponi won by 2% or whatever," and Duck Dynasty people endorsed him. So next thing you know, Willie's talking. I thought Willie did a good job.
So, Dad, you'll find this interesting. A recent Gallup survey shows Americans worry more about burglary than any other crime. Do you realize that? I mean, all the crimes that are out there, and there's a lot of them in America, they worry more about burglary, more than mugging, more than terrorism, car theft, murder, you know, all the things that are out there.
They hit you when you're not there.
Exactly. That's it.
Because or you're sleeping.
According or to studies.
Sleeping, which would be a bad move.
Oh, yeah. That would be a terrible move. According to studies, just over 10% of break-ins are planned. So these are spur of the moment. Most of them happen during the day.
Mm-hmm.
People are at work.
Just making use of the opportunity afforded.
You come by, you look, there's no car there, you know, so they're looking for things. Mm-hmm. There are over 2 million burglaries a year in the U.S. That's one every 13 seconds. So it is a problem. It's not a problem for you, necessarily.
Well, it feels like, boom, boom, who is it?
That's right. Dad tends to be a, you know, you don't want to mess with Dad.
Well, the dog's barking, you know, bow, boom, bow.
So our friends at Simply Safe.
Now, what do they do?
Here's what they do. They protect your whole home, every window, every room, every door, 24/7 monitoring.
Oh, this is with cameras.
It's cameras. It's cameras. It's, you know, all the kind of current technology.
The criminal is now more afraid of a camera than he is a weapon.
That's right.
I noticed when we ring their whole thing with cameras in every direction, woods all the way here, mile up the road. I noticed when all that was cameras went up, the redneck visits died way off.
That's right. No redneck.
The traffic died down after that.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting. The police dispatch is up to 3.5 times faster because you got video verification. In other words, they're looking at, they can see immediately someone is coming into this house.
Yeah, they can pull you, and they can pull your face up now.
That's
and
right.
Say, oh, this guy.
I hate to say it, but that's what we're down to.
That's
in
what
America.
We're down to.
So even in the redneck world.
So no contracts, no hidden fees, no fine print with our friends at Simply Safe. They're the best. You got around the clock monitoring, $15 a month. I mean, that's little money for a lot of assurances. So visit simplysafe.com/unashamed. Simplysafe.com/unashamed. You get free shipping. You get a 60-day free risk trial. You got nothing to lose. Simplysafe.com/unashamed and get some protection.
Do they
today.
Put it in or do you put it in?
You put it in. Very simple, very easy.
Hey,
comes to you in a box.
It's called Simply Safe.
Simply Safe. You put it up. You don't have to pay for all that.
And you don't have to like put one in your bedroom
that's pretty cool.
or anything
yeah,
like
you
that.
Want to stay away
you don't
from
want
that.
It to get awkward.
Exterior.
Yeah.
SimplySafe.
You know what I mean?
.com/unashamed.
You follow
Sign
me.
It up.
I follow you. Did a great
but
job.
Just getting in
so
there.
So did Willie spoke to the crowd before Trump got there, right?
He was the undercard.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had the other Louisiana politicians, which I felt,
Kennedy
I don't know about you.
And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this Kennedy.
He's hilarious.
That guy, I will campaign for that guy. That was
Senator
one of the
Kennedy.
Best little speeches. He came out there with passion. He was funny. Of course, it helped that everything he said that he was for, I'm also for. But because I've, you know, for years stayed out of the political realm, even though I'm pretty right wing as far as I say that with pride.
But you're not really, you don't really endorse or anything.
Issue? No, I stay out of it because, you know, what happens is we all make mistakes. We all, you know, and politicians seem to make more than others. It just seems that way.
Oh, yeah.
And so then whenever you tie yourself to them, and then they, you know, the repercussions of that. But in this case, you know, I knew the Trumps before they were running for president. And so, and we had a, you know, our relationship was built on things that were good, you know, right. Helping kids. And so, hey, you know, I said, sure, I'll go. So we go, but it took us about, I would say, what, Phil, 20, 25 minutes just to get in? Because that, the security process, you know, when you go through the airport, well, it was way more extensive than that. I mean, they're looking in your, you know, your snuff can. They're, you know, what is this? You know, your wallet. I was like, this is crazy. And, of course, you know, Kay, she brought enough where she could have camped out there 3 days, so that tied up a lot of the time. You know, they're going through, what is all this? You know?
Actually, the Secret Service removed my duck calls from my neck. I just brought duck calls because we're 16 days from duck season. And I just decided, you know, that when I was, acknowledged by the president there, I'm sitting over there surrounded by politicians. First thing I did, knowing duck season was here in 16 days.
Yeah.
I just grabbed my duck call and cranked down on it. The Secret Service looked at it and said, "What? We don't allow this in here."
I said, "Well, you know why?" He said. I said, "Well, why not?" Because they didn't want people like
making racket with
make them. A distraction. Like Trump says something you don't like, somebody blow.
I didn't blow the duck call until he acknowledged my presence somehow in his speech. He said, "Glad Phil's here," and so I just acknowledged what he had just said. I just cranked down on that duck call, a highball on him. And, you know, just for the people who were there, I thought it would liven up the party a little bit.
It was actually.
But you know what was weird?
It was a great idea.
When you blew the duck call, the people were cheering so much, I couldn't even hear the duck call. Well, I saw you blowing it, and you were 10 feet from me, and I couldn't hear it.
Wow, it was
whoever heard of going to a crowd of, you know, 10,000 people sitting there, you know, and not have his duck call on them? Are you crazy? So I thought
they let it in because the Secret Service came up. And
he
just nodded, but the secret, because they were like, "We have these duck calls. What do we, you know, the guy's bringing in duck calls. What do we do?" There's duck calls. You know, they're all speaking in their speaker in the Secret Service.
Yeah,
he just nodded his head, and they were like, "Okay, sir, here you go." One nod.
Yeah. One of the things that's worthy of note here, I gave you two texts from the kingdom standpoint. I'm a member of the kingdom of God, so are you two. We are functioning inside a man-made government. In our case, our founding fathers were very godly men, so we have a tradition, at least, that we're standing on Judeo-Christian teachings. I have a Bible in my lap here. One of the things that we're told, it is necessary, this is Romans 13, to submit to the authorities. You're talking law enforcement, governors, presidents, whatever, politicians, attorney generals, all of them. It's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience, just doing right. This is also why you pay taxes. Someone says, that's in the Bible. It's everything you've ever thought of.
Well, that's what we were talking about last time, about the judges and God set up this system. And
you pay for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. So we respect them. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. And it gets down to this. If respect, whatever party they're with, even if it's ungodly, we are to show all men respect. If honor, then honor. That's one text you might look into.
And if it also says if you're going to vote for a guy, vote for the one who's going to take less taxes.
Correct.
Oh, I don't say that. The point is.
But it's good thinking.
That's pretty good thinking.
Well, I would think.
It's biblical.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, and then we have the text over in 2 Timothy, which is interesting. Endure hardship with us. like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul kind of talks about a military type structure. It's a tier of leadership. In this case, it's an eternal kingdom, kingdom of God inside earthly governments. We're all over the world. We're within Red China, North Korea, Venezuela, the communist countries, the dictatorships. You say the kingdom of God is within that, worldwide. And they're are told, be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier of Christ Jesus gets involved. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, by the way. No one who's serving as a soldier in God's army, the kingdom, gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. So that has to mean something as far as how deep we get into man-made governments. And there's a role for us. We are to point all men to Jesus, the gospel,
which
of course
is what you tried to do. Phil's not going to tell this story, but I will. You know, when Trump got up there, of course, everybody, you know, every time he says something that we're for, you know, he's like, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll protect your Second Amendment. Why? You know, they're high fiving, you know, rolling around on the ground, you know, it's crazy. And so then he would call the different, state, Louisiana state. I guess all of those were Republicans, I guess.
They were there.
And that's where Kennedy spoke. Well, then he got down to the undercard, and he brought up Phil and Willie. And he's like, I don't think y'all were supposed to go up there, but he's like, come on up here. So I thought, because I saw Willie turn red, and Phil took off, you know. And so then Phil got up. I think Phil said, let me get this right. If you're pro-God, pro
America,
pro-guns,
pro-duck hunting.
You forgot pro-life, but I know that would have been a good one.
Pro-God.
Yeah. Okay.
That covers it. Ooh, okay. Good.
Well, got to remember, some chick, when I started walking toward the podium, some chick come running up there. She said, security? Well, I don't know, but she said, I'm with the White House. She said, keep it within a minute.
Really?
Yeah. She should keep it within a minute, so she didn't want me to get it all drawn out.
I
on
didn't
some
know
kind of,
that. Hey, no wonder. Well, so Phil, heard you speak before.
Yeah. That's called I looked around there
research.
At her, and I thought, well, I've got my shot, but it ain't long.
So nobody likes losing their hair. A lot of guys do. It's male pattern baldness that's out there. It's genetics, but it's also hormonal. Sometimes people are lacking the hormones that cause your hair to start to fall out. I got a little patch.
The problem is they're flaring ducts. That's what this is about.
The more you expose human skin to ducts, the less they want to come into your decoy.
Then you're eating hot dogs.
All animals and birds ascertain what a human being is by his face and head.
Right.
You got to cover it up with hair. That's why the Lord gave us that hair,
so we could hide when we're hunting, right?
And this bunch here, they want you.
So to keeps
to have plenty of it.
Keeps wants you to keep your hair. We like to keep hair for a different reason than keeps, because you know they're saying everybody likes to keep their hair. We like to keep it so we can hide
plus
from animals.
It clogs your drains, and you know all that when it's falling out. I mean, there's a lot of
when duck season gets here. I'll just take some kind of this dye they have, and I'll do like this, and to darken to keep these from standing out in the thicket.
Yeah,
because it's a little too light.
You know, they either you might mistake it for a crane sitting in the bushes if it's moving like that, because it's white like a crane.
Well,
white crane.
Yeah, Godwin's like a white-tailed deer. He's got a flag.
But you know what you could do, Phil? You could put some black rings around it, and then you'd look like a family of raccoons.
As possible.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think our folks at Keeps can help Phil, but we'll let him keep working on that for the rest.
Phil, everybody, like have you started yet?
I haven't started yet. The folks at Keeps are going to get me my sample, and then I'm going to get this started so we can actually take a look at my head.
Well, it's good for this company because we are hairy guys.
We're hairy guys, so we understand.
You stating the obvious.
So here's what you do. To get your free online doctor consult and 50% off, half off your first order, go to keeps.com/door, D-O-O-R, keeps.com/door. And that's how you're going to get a free online consult, 50% off. Keep your hair. You'll be able to hide yourself from animals.
You could sell all your razors and buy some Keeps.
There you go. Keeps.com/door.
Basically said, let's cut to the chase. And it, if you think about it logically, if you have the electorate and they're pro-God and an electorate who is pro-America. Now, just think about what you're looking at coming out of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
They booed God out of their platform in 2011, literally took his name out of their platform.
And even he's low on their totem pole.
He's low on the totem pole. There's no mention of, I've never heard him even say Jesus or God.
Well, and even Mr. Trump has done more for the religious community than any other president.
So I said, if you're pro-God, at least he's not anti-Christian, anti-God.
I know.
I've talked to him, I've given him Bible verses, so I'm like.
But I didn't finish my story. So Phil says that. So Willie gets up and basically just glad you're here. You know, this is an awesome place. Vote Eddie. Because we were there to vote for the governor, you know, to promote the governor.
Trump's also looking ahead to 2020.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
it is. You know, and so
it was about responding more than Trump.
But when Willie was talking, well, Phil's back there has jotted down some scriptures about Jesus and baptism. Because the last time y'all met, you share Jesus with
him. That's right.
So Phil, but I thought only Phil. I saw him talking to him, and so then as soon as it was over,
Willie was talking. He was doing this
because when it was over, his mask out. I mean, he's there man for himself, getting out of there.
Yeah.
So then we called Phil as they left, and I was like, "What were you saying?" And he was like, "Oh, I picked up where I left off at the last Bible study." I was like, on stage behind Willie's like, yep.
I was giving spiritual advice to our president, who I respect and I honor because he's our president.
Right.
Well, right.
And somebody said, well, he was a sinful man. I said, so was I. And so are all of you. We're all sinful people. We are to honor the king.
We brought this up last night. We were talking about this. You know, the Obamas invited Willie and Corey, you know, into their office to meet them. It's like when the president, no matter whether you voted for him or whether you even support their policies, you support the president.
And by the way, they were very gracious to Willie and Corey.
Oh, yeah.
And told Willie and Corey that their daughters at that time, this is years ago, they were teenagers or younger, watched our show and liked it. He said they watched Doug Dynasty.
I think that's the difference, that you can't go too far with this. You know, I mean, look, there's a lot of things. I'm for Trump basically because he's for more things than I'm for. Yeah, I mean, it represents. Look, do I like, you know, his style and every detail? No, it's basically, you know, our country is divided, which it is, and he's like, pick a side. We're on the winning side. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I've always been the type of person, I like more, you know, our leaders trying to bring people together and inspire. And you know, I kind of like that angle a little better. But we have what we have. I view the, you know, some of the stuff he says is just funny because it's kind of, it's like almost like an embellishment or he's talking down to his opponents, you know. I mean, I don't particularly like that style, but I just view it as humor. And I take it in that light, you know. But what I was going to say is, you know what was amazing about that whole night together? The biggest applause is when he said, I heard y'all have a football game coming up with Alabama. That place went nuts. And everybody started, LSU, LSU, LSU.
I mean, so he had to pause for the LSU chat.
Well, I think he was looking around like, what's wrong with these people? I mentioned
he's going to the game.
That's what I heard. He said, y'all have a pretty good quarterback, you know, and everybody, LSU, LSU. We could come up with nothing else. Every time he said something about the football game, LSU, LSU. Well, that was the most I got excited, you know, because I'm like, oh, you've hit a nerve here because our tensions are raw over the upcoming game, which is tomorrow, our time. People listening to this, it'll probably be later.
It'll have already happened. Yeah.
So having said that, my prediction is, let me just say this off the point because I want to give a prediction. I actually think this is LSU's best chance in 10 years because we've lost 9 years in a row to beat Alabama. And I think we have the team. To, you know, if we get behind in years past, I'm like, it's over. you're going to turn the game off. Well, we have the type of team that it can come back right now. So I'm actually predicting if LSU can just stay in it, I believe they'll win.
I agree. I pick them to win. You know, I have these inner feelings about games. I felt bad about the Alabama game for years. And because we've been in a situation where I didn't feel like we could win. The last couple of years has just been brutal. But this year, I feel totally confident we're going to go in. I think it'll be close. I mean, Tua's great. Alabama's great. I mean, look,
we may lose. It's at Alabama. It's hard to win on the road. You know, I mean, we struggled.
I predict we'll win.
But here's the deal. I think even if we don't, I think we're still in the playoffs if we went out.
Well, right. And I mean, so, that's a lot of, it's not as much pressure. So we're going on record before the game, by the way.
I don't mind.
So when we come back, if we're wrong, we'll let you know.
I like this team. I think this team has what it takes.
So Dad, back to the Trump deal. Let me just tell you, you're talking about a Senate sermon. I never knew the White House woman put them in. That's hilarious. That's an insider. Cy and I are down there. Well, because Fox and Friends was there, you know, it was Kilmeade and Ducey and Ainsley, they were part of the event. So they did Fox and Friends from St. Pete, Florida the next morning. So Cy and Lisa and I appeared on the show along with most of the people that were at the event the night before. So our segment, they were on there. They lead with you, which I'd already seen it on Fox and Friends a couple of times, but that was their lead into
us. Yeah, your line.
Yeah, it was your line.
It was good.
And everybody's laughing, and they were like, what about that? You know, and Lisa even quoted it during our interview. But what I meant to tell you was, and across social media, the same thing, sometimes it only takes one statement when said well that really makes an impact. Because I saw that all over the internet, all over social media.
Really?
After you said, So what I'm saying is sometimes you think, you know, politicians think you have to be long-winded. But you don't always have to be that way.
I mean, the bottom line is
our job is to honor all men. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, he ran up on these governors, Felix and Festus, and on up the chain of Agrippa, the king, you know, and I guess, who was it? Tiberius was the Caesar at the time in the book of Acts when you're reading about the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. So even he found himself with them explaining what he was doing. Right. Well, basically, you fast forward 2,000 years, we do the same thing.
You know what I was thinking?
It all matters.
We point people to Jesus. We honor them for whoever they are, even whether which side of the political aisle. But we are Republicans, and we are for God-fearing men to get up there.
You know
people
what I
who
thought?
Love their country, and now they're hollering about Karl Marx over here in the Democratic Party. Well, I can't vote for him. So I met with John Bell Edwards, the guy running for governor, to tell him I wasn't voted for him.
He's a very nice guy.
I told him I wasn't voted for him because I said, you're with the wrong party.
You even asked him, you said, why don't you change parties?
Sure.
He said, you know, he's pro-life.
I can't vote for you with the party you're with because they're anti-God.
And to be fair to Governor Edwards, who I know as well, is a nice man.
I met him.
And his wife is great.
Yeah.
He told Dad, he said, well, look, a lot of my friends tell me the same thing. John Bell, why are you still in the Democratic Party? You know, you should be in the Republican Party because your core beliefs are in line more with them.
That's true. That's how he got elected in such a
conservative state. He said his answer to Dad was, he said, Phil, I get that. I appreciate that. He said, you know, and I've thought about it before. He said, but I feel like my party, the party I love, that my parents grew up in, that I grew up in, has changed. And I want to try to change it back to the way it was before. And obviously,
it's a noble thought. I would tell him good luck when you do change, and they do change. Well, maybe I'll vote for him, but right now.
But Dad was honest. That's exactly what he told me.
Well, I wanted to finish this point because what I was a little sad about, as fiery as it was, is I thought, you know, I haven't been to an event because I do a lot of events where people were this passionate about Jesus, and which was a little disturbing to me because I thought, you know, I'm not trying, when I made the comment about, I wish our politicians would try to bring people together, but you know what? I know deep down it's not going to happen. Our country is divided into two camps, and the wall is a giant wall. It's a chasm.
It is.
So we're enjoying our, now this is Black Rifle Coffee.
I like it. It's good. But, you know, I think I like it a little stronger than this. And you said they sent us
So the folks at Black Rifle, they sent us some coffee. They wanted us to try it and let us know what they thought about it. And we love it. They sent us light roast and medium roast. So when I got it, I thought, well, I know us well enough to know we've got to get more. So I found out they have a double dark roast, extra dark roast.
My question is, why wouldn't they just look at us and assume that that's what we would go with?
Well, see, they probably didn't assume anything until they sent it. You know, I guess most people like their coffee a little lighter than we do. You realize that, don't you? I mean, like,
but I think duck hunters, you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, we look like we do. Everything about my life says rough and rugged and double dark.
So you're right. And I think that definitely fits. This is actually Dad's coffee because it's stout.
This is good, but you can simply put, all you need is, of course, dark roast, but more grounds. Just put more grounds per water.
Well, if you do that with any coffee, it's going to be stronger.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think this would be really something.
But let me tell you how to make coffee.
More grounds than you have in this.
I tell people this all the time. Here's how you make coffee. You take the coffee, and this is good coffee, but you pour it all the way to the top.
Yeah.
And the less water you use, the stronger it'll be. But you always pour the coffee to the top.
Yeah.
And it's good for their business.
But let me tell you this, Dad. You don't know this. What's even more special about Black Rifle Coffee Company, which makes me support them even more than I normally would. These are all veterans. All these guys have served our country. Most of them have been overseas. Small batch coffee. That's why it's so really good and rich, you know, because it's not like you're just churning it out like, you know, the other big coffee.
Well, I'm in on this then.
That's a win-win because I probably would be drinking bad coffee if it went to that cause.
That's exactly right.
But if they're
veterans,
good coffee. And it's good coffee. Right. I'm like, kudos to the veterans here.
So here's what they got. And my son-in-law, Jay, by the way, he's been drinking it for quite a while. So I'm glad and excited we're telling you guys on the podcast about it. You're going to join the Black Rifle Coffee Club. And so then you're going to tell them what blend you like. We've let them know now. We want the double dark.
Do they have a triple dark?
Double is all I saw. But, you know, after us, they may find a triple dark.
Well, the Black Rifle crew wouldn't be offended if I tell them the hashtag for all of this is, with the coffee, may your aim always be true.
Exactly.
But that's not the hashtag.
That's not the hashtag. We're going to get to that. So you're going to basically go to blackriflecoffee.com/Phil, and that's how you're going to be able to join up. blackriflecoffee.com/Phil. So when you enter Phil as your discount code, you're going to receive 20% off.
Phil, not F-I-L-L.
That's right.
Fill it to the brim.
That's right.
But you type feel.
Or not feel, F-E-E-L. F-E-E-L, feel. This is feel,
it'll make
P-H-I-L.
You feel better if you fill the coffee up after you typed in feel.
By the way, the guys at Black Rifle, these are the kind of guys you read about that say, how do you feel, F-E-E-L, about shooting a terrorist? And you know what they say? A slight recoil.
That's the kind of guys
I like to get my coffee from.
Okay. I like anybody on the earth that hits what they shoot at.
That's exactly right. Well, these guys did, and they've hit it on the coffee. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Phil. Save your 20%. Support some veterans and enjoy the coffee.
Almost makes you want to join up.
Let's join.
But it's our job.
It's
spiritual
warfare.
What we have in Jesus is what brings people together. Well, you're not going to do it politically. I'm going to go with the side that supports more godly values and what I think common sense issues like the right to bear arms and that kind of stuff.
So I want to piggyback on that, Jace, because that's interesting you bring that up. The other, on our interview on Fox and Friends earlier this week, the second thing they asked us about, which was really interesting, they asked us about this, because you imagine Si asking Si about this, was about Kanye West and what we thought about his new album, which is called Jesus is King.
I'm not familiar with these people
yet. Oh, yeah. See, Jace is out. So Kanye West.
Tell me about him.
All right. He's a rapper.
Well, no wonder I hadn't heard of him.
He's a rapper. He's very famous. He's on the car. He's married to one of the Kardashians, you know, so he's been on that show.
I'm vaguely familiar.
So here's Kanye West came, other than his rapper married to a Kardashian part of his persona and a huge following, the last year has been in the news a lot because he is a Trump supporter.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And he went to the White House. He's got a MAGA hat, and all the people are blowing their minds. He's crazy. Well, how could he be following Trump? Well, that's what we kind of knew about him. What's happened is, apparently over the last few months or less than a year, is he has converted to Christianity.
Yep.
I mean, seriously converted. So, so out of that, I've seen a couple of interviews, amazing. And, of course, they're making hay over the political part of it. He's, you know, now he's pro-life. He's talking about abortion and all that. So that's getting a lot of play. But he's come out with a new Christian album, a Christian rap album called Jesus is King. And the first time he performed.
I like the title.
Was impromptu in Baton Rouge last week. He went to Baton Rouge. The guys at Bethany that you and I spoke for, remember them? They baptized all those people. They hosted him. Well, thousands of people showed up. So he does some of his new stuff off his new album. And at the end, they do an altar call. 1,000 people make commitments to follow Christ.
By the way, since you brought that up, Al, it is interesting that during this cycle, along with the conversion of him, you know, the guy the other day that was said he had been a left winger all his life, we came up here and I baptized him. You know, we talked with him. Great guy.
Yeah.
But he repented and turned to God. We turned him to Jesus. He said, I heard you give a speech down there. So you can't win them if you hate them.
Right.
And well, it's ridiculous. That's the difference in the politics.
I don't hate the opposing political party.
That's why when I was sitting in the crowd, I'm like, yes, I'm going to vote, you know, for Mr. Trump.
Yep.
And yes, you know, I know. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking what we're doing in Jesus and sharing Jesus is way bigger than this. Because we have the ability through the Holy Spirit of God to change the heart. If you just try to out-argue somebody or convince them, it's not going to happen in the political. It's just not going to happen. You may convince a couple here and there, but you know you can actually change the heart of a person.
But think about
it. That's what happened there.
Oh, and think about how many people now Kanye West, and again, we don't know him, but just what I'm seeing and reading, I'm excited about it. But how many people will he reach? People that you and I couldn't reach. They're not me watching the Unashamed podcast. His concert.
Hey, whether it's the president or anyone else in politics, I was there. And if someone said, so how what would you say about Donald Trump? I said, I would say he's caustically brilliant. He's a little caustic in his approach.
More than a little bit,
But never underestimate.
I would say a lot, but okay.
Never underestimate the brain power of that man.
Well, he's brilliant,
and he's
anybody
intense.
To pull Look, off what he's pulled off up to now.
We know it's funny that
he's a lot more intense in person than I realized.
Yeah.
You know, when he's giving the speech, you watch it on TV. There's something missing there. When you're in the crowd, the intensity level seemed so much greater.
He's
kind
of got a larger
than
life.
One of the greatest things I saw, we went back in the back and took pictures with him, your mama, Miss Kay, and myself. And we went back in the back, you know, and Willie, I think, was there. So we go up to have a picture taken with the president. And he looked at Miss Kay, y'all's mother, and he said, Miss Kay, you are a beautiful woman. And Miss Kay said, and I can cook too. And the president, I will have to say, he laughed out loud. She said, I can cook too.
Which is classic, Mom.
Spoken like a little redneck girl. But,
so she didn't appreciate. She was like, oh, of course I'm good looking, but I can cook too.
I can also cook.
That's classic, Mom.
And the president of these United States, he burst out in laughter.
I bet he
laughed.
Well, to show you that you were talking about the Secret Service, to show you how you don't play around with those guys. So I'm in Florida.
Yeah, I don't get crossways with that.
Look, I get a text from Bullock, you know, down here at JPS. He said, what's the code on your truck? And I was like, I said, what do you need that for? And he was like, the Secret Service says if your truck has not moved from the JPS parking lot, which is in front of the airport, because I just lock up and leave it when I go on a trip.
Yeah.
But there's no leftover vehicles when the Secret Service rolls in. So they got whoever owns that truck's got 1 hour or it's towed.
Woo, so and they shut the interstate down, which I was shocked. You know, I thought they would just have a police escort. Oh, no. Every entrance to the interstate shut down because I told Miss, I said, I bet they probably closed the interstate. She's like, no. I said, I'm not going interstate. But every time we went by the place where you get on, there was a cop car there. I was like, oh, yeah.
Somebody said, you carrying a weapon with you on this one? I said, No, because I look around out here. I said, I don't need one.
That's right.
Oh, there was a woman. There was a woman Secret Service in our section, and she had like tattoos on both arms. But she, I mean, not that I really noticed that. She just looked like a scary woman.
Yeah, you noticed.
And
that's why you're
talking. I said something to her, just you know, because I just talk to people when we're moving through, and she just had no response. She was just looking right through me, like you're not. I'm not even distracted by you. And Missy's like, please don't talk to her. She's doing her job or something. And I was like, she is not impressed at this moment. But I mean, there was no smile. There was no grin. Reaction. She just looked
strictly
like she could
business.
Just and rip it, my heart out and eat it.
And no matter you know? That you were the Robertsons and you were
she
part of
it. She didn't care.
If
you were,
had done
buddy.
Anything, if you had yeah. done anything, made a move, she would have taken you down in about two Quick. Seconds.
Because most of them were men, but I noticed her. And yeah. she just ripped.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Those people don't play. You don't play around with the Secret
Part
Service.
Of me kind of wanted just to see a little altercation, just to see what would happen. You know, nothing major, but I just wanted to see some moves.
Yeah, that's
know?
The first political rally. Well, let's see. I did one with
That's the first one I ever did. That's the first time I'd ever gone to
this
anything
the first
political.
Presidential rally I've been to, but
I thought it was interesting, but it inspired me more to proclaim Jesus when I'm at these things and to challenge people's intensity. Because look, in the grand scheme of things, who cares who's president if you don't make it off the planet?
So everybody will understand. We use that as an opportunity to infuse a little good into our culture and to say, come on now, let's you know, let's go back to our founding fathers, our roots, our God, our country. And let's respect the king, respect the president, whoever he is, and let's just do
but
what's right.
You have to admit, it's pretty surreal for us sitting here. We're sitting on the hill where we grew up down yep. this hill here, commercial fishing, building duck calls. Would you have ever imagined, Jace, would you have ever imagined a day when the president of the United States of America would introduce you onto a stage?
I never thought
it happened.
Never crossed my mind.
That was
surreal.
That was surreal.
Let's face it. Somebody that used to work here at our church years ago, the youth minister, McCord's wife, Mindy, she put that on Facebook. She said, I never, in my entire wildest dreams of all imagination, could have never imagined the President of the United States introducing Willie and Phil Robertson at an event. Hey. He introduced you.
You know what was funny about that, Al, look, is when he said, because you know how he is. He's like Phil. He says whatever he's thinking.
Exactly.
And so when he said, hey, y'all come up there. Well, they didn't move just immediately. So he had to fill that time. Anybody yeah. that spoken,
yeah,
you know
you
what that's like.
Yeah.
You don't. So now he's trying to think of adjectives of Phil and Willie. And I could see the wheels turning in his mind because I thought, what is he going
to
say? Because what can you say about, look at these two guys that look like they just come out of a, you know, some kind of homeless shelter.
I wore the Phil best said, clothes I had. Unfortunately, I don't own a suit, so that was out
Phil,
of
your,
my
life. Your wardrobe yeah, was below average. Well, I'm not sure. That shirt
like he was wearing
was
a burlap bag. I thought,
yeah,
I looked at it
and I thought.
Before I left, I said, Miss K, where's them green pants? They look a little spiffy. I'll wear the
well,
green
Phil
pants.
Had his duck calls on up under his shirt.
So he just
bull. Well, people didn't know that was his duck call, so it looked like he had like all these growths on his stomach. It just looked weird, and I was like, I'm not even gonna tell.
There was earplugs and duck calls, by the way, if somebody's asking.
But Phil, so look, President Trump says, I mean, these guys, they're, and I was thinking, what's he gonna say? And he went, they're smart. And I was thinking, well, they look it, you know. And so, which was true, y'all
we both
are
have
smart.
College degrees.
And he said, and they, and I thought, well, he's going to try another one. He said, they hit it big. And I thought, well, he's come up with another one. And he said, hey, anybody, y'all are still walking up. He said, anybody that's watched their show, you know those shows are full of, and he waited. And I thought, what in the world is he fixing to say? And he said, a lot of wisdom. And I thought, you know, off the top of his head.
I didn't
head,
catch that.
It was pretty good.
I thought, off the top of his head.
Because you were
head,
thinking about what you were going to say.
Because there were some, you know, at the end of our show was those little things that Willie would say. You would pray at the end of the show. And then Willie would kind of give some words of wisdom, I guess.
Well,
and I thought, you know, that was because he didn't plan on saying that.
Well, here's what he, and by the way, just so the audience know, this is the third, it's actually the fourth conversation since 2016 that Dad has had. The first one, the first two, Trump was not president yet. And so we met him in D.C. at an event, and that was just to shake his hand. And Trump was more like, yeah, I love this guy. He stays at our hotel. Remember, that was just real topical. And then the second time, you actually shared the gospel with him. Mm-hmm. That was right before he got elected. And then the third time, he called you to congratulate you on your book. And in that conversation, as you said this, he said, Phil, you're one of the wisest men in America. You remember when he said that? So what he said about that. So he has seen that and realized. So this, the conversation you had with him at the rally was the fourth conversation.
That showed us that he's not anti-God.
That's exactly
well,
right.
Well, right.
And come out of a like tough
he's evolving in the right direction.
And like I said, I know his sons, especially Donald Trump Jr. I mean, we've had many conversations. We're going back and forth on the phone while his, you know, while the president was speaking. Because Trump Jr. said, hey, did you talk to Dad? I was like, well, I sent you know, the other members of my family, but it's fine. We're all good. And he's like, what's he talking about? And I was like, well, right now, actually, he just had breaking news that he explained that this whole whistleblower was a hoax thing or whatever. Yeah. He was sending me all the teary, you know, tear faces, they call those things?
Yeah, the emojis.
Emojis, yeah.
I've never heard that terminology.
Are you familiar with the new emojis?
You know what?
I'm not into emojis.
No, it's emojis.
Emojis?
Yeah, I don't like them. Yeah, they're little symbols that you
know who
send
loves them?
On the phone.
Your right hand man, the butler. He sends a text, it's like 20 emojis after each thing.
He every time he says something,
I didn't know that.
Look, he'll say like, good talk yesterday, and he'll have like an arm pumping,
like this,
pumping a muscle
and a
like,
fist bump,
yeah,
and two smiley faces, and a you know it's
embarrassing. It's
that's annoying. A world I'm not familiar with.
As his boss, you need to get him to stop doing.
Yeah,
that.
He needs to be emoji free.
Emoji free.
Emoji free.
Yeah, I'll get him at info.
So anyway, all this talk and all this idea about Trump really kind of leads us into what we're going to be talking about for the next you know little while on our podcast. Because we're entering a segment sort of in the historical part of Israel we've been talking about, where basically Israel is about to ask for their first king.
That's right.
And which is really interesting, because remember we talked last time about the judges. And so the idea of the judges were these were just kind of guys that, you know, God would raise up or kind of raise up out of the group.
We're going to lead us to a king.
Right. And so all that's going to lead them to a king eventually. What's really interesting is this is what most people would have no idea about unless you understood and really read the Bible. So the last judge is a guy named Samuel. He's the 14th judge. But he's also sort of a bridge because he was very spiritual whenever his mother couldn't conceive. And so she's praying. She went to the temple and she's praying and praying because she was barren. And I just want a son. I want a son. I want a son. And the guy who was the judge before Samuel, he was the judge, but he was also a priest. He sees her over there. He goes, why are you drunk down here at the temple? Because he just sees her. She's just anguished. Well, he thought she was drunk. And she said, well, I'm not drunk. I'm praying for a son, you know. And so she leaves. Well, God, he hears her. And so she gets pregnant and her son is Samuel. And she told God when she said, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to your service for his whole life. So when he was a little boy, she takes him down to the temple and she sees Eli there and says, he's yours. Use him however you want to, you know, to advance, you know, the kingdom, which was really powerful. And so he had a very emotional, spiritual start. So he was a really good man. And so Samuel is the last judge. And so he's doing just what he thinks God wants him to do. I'm going to be the judge. Then my sons will be the next judge. But his sons weren't as good as he was. So here's what happens in 1 Samuel 8:6. I'll read you this. And this sets us up. And then we'll talk a little bit about King. 1 Samuel 8:6. Because his sons, who he had appointed judges, were not quality character. So the people were like, we don't want to follow these guys. They're not like their dad. Mm-hmm. You know, he had sons that didn't turn out too well. They said, give us a king to lead us. So they thought, we want a king, because they looked at all the people around them. They said, they got kings. The Bible says this displeased Samuel because he thought, we're breaking up the system. We had a judge system here all these years. So he prays to God, and the Lord tells Samuel, listen to what the people are saying to you, for it is not you they have rejected, because Samuel felt rejected. You know, he thought this was supposed to, but they have rejected me as their king. See, God always had in mind that he's the king. Yep. So whoever's ruling in the deal, that's not him. So they refused to listen. He said, they want to be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and lead us into battle. So that started the idea. Samuel winds up anointing. He does it because God told him to. He anointed the first king. He was a man named Saul, who was tall and good looking and a classic politician looking guy.
Head and shoulders above. And shoulders
with all above these the instances through Judges and Joshua and all the things we read, all these wars, and you know, we talk about it being rated R. And I mean, if you put your faith and trust in God, you won.
Right.
If you didn't, you lost.
Yeah.
And basically, he was leading that. All that was done just for that one principle. And then when you get to the king, the reason you do win ultimately is he controls the matter. He can't be destroyed. He has your best interest at heart. I mean, all these qualities that would make a king a king.
By the way,
comes out.
I have a book coming out, Jesus Politics.
Yep.
And really? Breaking news?
This is breaking news.
Because I haven't heard
I've already. I mentioned it one time before. Jesus Politics, and it basically, you get
tell them the tagline underneath that, a kingdom manifesto.
A kingdom manifesto, which comes out of, Karl Marx said he's for communism, no God, atheist, and he produced a manifesto. Well, in this book, I introduce Jesus, who goes all the way back to here.
Yeah.
But he's the real king because he's God.
That's right.
In flesh.
Right.
So we discuss the role that the kingdom of God plays in politics, how we live our life,
right.
No matter what, whether you're under a monarchy, a dictatorship, or right. whatever, it needs to be there to show them who the real king is. So it's a.
And well, we're excited about the new book.
It'd be an exciting book.
It's going to release next summer, about the time of the conventions, you know. So
that's
imagine
right.
we're going to have our Trump, and then we're going to have our Democratic, you know, rival. And you're going to be looking at those conventions, and here's what we're putting forward for the future of America. And then Dad is going to interject in his new book. You know what? If the kingdom of God were running the show, here's what it would look like.
And so, what they saw the other night was the beginning.
Right.
That you say, that's the kingdom of God, right. the real king, right. working within a man-made empire.
Exactly.
Supposedly based on Judeo-Christian values, we're trying to bring that to the forefront again to
right.
get people back to that.
That's right. So today on our podcast, we're basically introducing this thought about kingdom and about the king.
By the way, Al, you're not going to make America a great again unless you start with Jesus, the king.
That's right.
That's what I was referenced to earlier. You have the ability to change the heart in Jesus, who is the King of Kings,
right.
you know, far and above every ruler, power, authority, you know, and at when he does come back, every knee will bow anyway.
That's right.
At some point, you will bow before the king, either yeah. voluntarily.
Now, what in the world is this bunch wanting to do? And we're like, that's why I said in a sentence, if you're pro-God
right.
and you're pro-America, well, you have the kingdom of God there.
Yeah, and this is.
I think everybody's waiting on the kingdom. I know this is going to be, I hate to use controversial, but a lot of people may not have heard, you know,
I think
what we believe about the kingdom.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to love the next few podcasts because we're really going to dive into biblically the concept of kingdom. And a lot of people have a different view of that, even, including inside the church and the religious
right.
establishment.
Which is fine. We'll just introduce it, you know, from our perspective.
Right.
And
so that's
I've
where
tried we're to clear those issues up in this book.
So that's where we're going to go. We're going to be talking about that. We want to stress as much on Israel's kings as much as the kingdom of God, because that's introduced here.
Because that was a shadow. I mean, like, we're going to get to these prophecies where there was a prediction. I mean, like, Daniel just popped in my mind, you know, chapter 2 and chapter 7,
sure.
where there was a prophecy that there was a kingdom that was going to come to this earth. That
even
would
here,
never be destroyed, and it itself would crush all earthly kingdoms. Well,
which adds to the point, the whole time, Jace is famous for saying the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi is the introduction of Jesus. Jesus
that's
is
right.
coming.
That's right.
What he's saying,
the king
what
is
Jace
coming.
Is saying is the king is coming
that's right.
to establish his kingdom, and it'll be under the auspices. The two most important things about this one is love him and love each other.
Right.
That will work. And if you look at it logically, you say, there's no downside to that. Whatever politics you're into, start there, well, and everything will fall in place.
Well, that's why our king, it makes us more dangerous, more courageous than any political party, because our king is indestructible.
That's right.
I mean, he can't be destroyed.
You can't stamp the kingdom out, because our king is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. You're not getting to him there. You got to him once, and he died for your sins, but you won't touch him now.
So that's what the whole book of Revelation is about.
That's correct.
The kingdom cannot be destroyed, even if you kill him.
That's right.
They'll be
can
back.
Can you tell we're excited about that? Have we properly teased you to be able to tune in to Unashamed and listen to more about the king and the kingdom? To quote our new friend, Kanye West, Jesus is king.
Hey.
And we'll talk more about that next time on Unashamed.
Even coming from the lips of an ex-whatever rapper.
He's still a rapper.
He's rapping the right thing now.
Phil has rapping as in it's of the sinful nature.
It's an ex.
You know,
there are some new Christian rappers. I don't think it's sinful.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't hear it much, okay. But from time to time, somebody got it on when they drive by, and I'm like, what did they say? Kanye, kudos to Kanye.
Kudos
welcome,
to Kanye.
Brother, into the kingdom of God.
We are so glad you're watching and listening to the Unashamed podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. That's going to keep you up to date with all the new episodes, and it's also going to let other people find out about our podcast. So keep spreading the word and watching and listening to Unashamed with Phil Robertson.